There's one word that's on my heart tonight, and the word is desire, D-E-S-I-R-E, desire. The word desire means to wish strongly for, to long for, or to crave something or someone. Desire. I think every husband ought to desire his wife. Every wife ought to desire her husband. The people of God ought to desire to be in the house of God. There are many, many things that the Bible tells us that we ought to be desiring. There are things that the Bible tells us we ought not to be desiring. The Word of God talks about a desire that Jesus had while he was here on this earth as he was about to die, was about to be crucified, and they were having the Last Supper. Jesus made this statement. He said, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Think about that. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So Jesus had desires while he was here on this earth, didn't he? He said, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you." He tells us, Jesus also tells us about the devil desiring something. He told Peter, he said, "Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." So, I want you to know that the devil is no different today than he was in that time. And the devil desires to have you just like he desired to have Peter. He got hold of Peter, and Peter went through a lot of difficulties because he did not resist the devil. Now, when the devil begins to desire to have you, there are things that you can do to keep Satan from getting you. Peter later tells us in 1 Peter 5:8 that we need to be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He desires to devour you. He desires to devour every one of God's children. And then the Bible tells us about things that we ought not to desire. The Scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that the people of God are sometimes fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And so the Bible tells us about things that we sometimes desire. We desire to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we ought not to do that. The Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 10, the Word of God says, "The soul of the wicked desireth evil." Does your soul ever desire evil? Anytime that your soul desires evil, you're wicked at that point in your life. There are times that you may be righteous. There are times that you may be godly, but there are times that you may be wicked, and there are times you may be ungodly. And your desires have a lot to do. What it is that you are desiring has a profound effect on whether you're being righteous or whether you're being ungodly. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 23, the Word of God says, "The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath." The desire of the righteous is only good. When you're being righteous, the only desire that you're having is going to be good. Now, there are a lot of good things, and there are a lot of other things the Bible tells us to desire, but all the desires that you have while you're being righteous are going to be good desires. They're going to be right desires. They're going to be desires that are pleasing to God. The Word of God sometimes speaks about us being desiring vain glory. Many of you ever desired vain glory? Anytime that you're desiring vain glory, you're not righteous, because vain glory is not good. And the Bible says here, the desire of the righteous is only good. So I pray that God will help us to be righteous. And then when our hearts and our minds and souls are being righteous, doing right, then our desires are going to be good desires. There are many other things the Bible talks about desiring that we ought to desire. I want you to think about, back up just a moment in your Bibles to Psalm 27, and I want you to think about what David desired. I want to look at three or four individuals and think about, now what did that person desire? What in the Bible does the Bible say he desired or she desired? What are some things that David desired? There were a lot of different things that David desired. He talks about a lot of things. In fact, let me ask you this question. About how many times do you think the word desire or a form of the word desire is used in the Bible? About how many times would you think the word desire or a form of the word desire is used in the Bible? All right, 50 or 60, that's what I would have thought. Over 200 times that the Bible talks about desire. So if you really want to study all about desire, you're going to get you a concordance where I'll give you a list and you can study all about these different desires, good desires and bad desires. And the Bible speaks a lot about what is it you desire. Let me ask you a different question. How many times would you think the word share? Sometime during this week, that word share got on my mind. How many times do you think the word share, you know, like we share things with each other? About how many times would you think the word share? I would have guessed around 175, I guess. I think I would have thought well over 100. The word share, like we talk about sharing with each other, is not used a single time in the Bible. Not a single time. Now, the truth that we ought to share is certainly taught. In fact, it goes beyond just sharing. It talks about giving. You know, a man comes, and if I've got two coats and he wants one, I'm to give him one of my coats. So the Word of God talks about, and the only reason I mention that is I was shocked because all week I've been meditating on that word sharing. And then this afternoon, that's really been on my heart to preach on sharing. And this afternoon, right after lunch, I got my concordance down to just start looking at all the different places the Bible talked about sharing, and zip, not a single time. So I want us to pray that God will help us as we think about the word desire to realize the Bible speaks a lot about desire. And we need to think about what is it we desire. We need to examine our minds and see what is it that we desire in our heart and in our mind. David says this, Psalm 27, listen to verse 4. David says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord." Now, you might not agree with this, but I believe this was the number one desire in David's life. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." That was the number one thing that David says in this verse. "One thing have I desired." That's what he longed for. That's he wanted. God, you remember how God, we mentioned Solomon this morning. What was Solomon's number one request? What did he desire? He desired wisdom. Now, what does David say he desires? "I desire to dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord." I want to see the beauty of the Lord. Every time we come to the house of God, I know that we enjoy one another's fellowship and we enjoy singing and worshiping God, but I need to desire to behold the beauty of the Lord. I need to see him as he is. I love that song that we sing sometimes that says, "Beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord." I want to see the Lord. David said, "I desire, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord." I pray that God will help us to have that as a desire. That's a good desire. "A righteous man desires only good." Well, there's a good desire. There's something we ought to desire. David said, "I was glad when they said unto me," what? "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Why? Because that was his desire, was to go into the house of the Lord. Why did he want to go to the house of the Lord? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That ought to be a strong desire that every one of us has, is to be in the house of God. Back up just one page to Psalm 19. The Word of God here tells us something else that we ought to desire, something that the righteous will desire. In Psalm 19, listen to verses 9, 10, and 11. The Word of God says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Now listen carefully. "More to be desired are they." What is the pronoun "they" referring back to? It's referring back to the judgments of the Lord. "More are they to be desired. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." Listen, brethren, the Word of God, this psalmist said, "I desire the Word of God more than I desire gold. I desire to read about the judgments of God more than I desire fine gold. I think that the judgments of God are sweeter than honey and sweeter than the honeycomb." That's esteeming the Word of God very high. That's talking about how beautiful and lovely and important and valuable the Word of God is, the judgments of God, the statutes of God, the commandments of God. "More to be desired are they than gold and fine gold." Now, how much do you desire the Word of God? How much do you really desire the Word of God? Think about it. How often do you read the Word of God? Does that help you know how much you desire the Word of God? Name something you desire, just in the natural realm. Name anything that you desire. Money? Money? That's exactly right. We desire money. Okay, let's stay with that. I think that desiring money is probably, that would be somewhere on everybody's list, is we desire more money, don't we? We desire money. We need money. We need at least some money. But we need to pray that God will help us to just as much, in fact, more than we desire money. And more, like Brother Joshua said, food is something we desire. More than we desire money, and more than we desire necessary food, we need to desire the Word of God. I was real pleased yesterday when Marty and I were studying at Willacoochee, and we were in that Mary's restaurant there, and we were sitting there studying. We started about 10:30 studying, and we studied for about an hour and a half before we had lunch there. But while we were studying, just one person after another that was coming into that restaurant, they'd come up, "Hey, what are y'all studying about?" I think just about everybody that came in that restaurant came up and wanted to know what we were studying about. And they knew, I knew, that they loved the Word of God. One lady and her husband stood there at the table for 10 minutes. When he walked about 3 inches at a time, just little bitty tiny steps, and it took him 10 minutes to get from the front door to our table. But my point is, that man and that woman love the Word of God. "What are y'all studying about? Tell me what you're looking at." They were hungry for the food, the natural food. That's the reason they were in Mary's restaurant. But they wanted something even better than that natural food. And so they just stood there. And then somebody else came up, and you know, it's wonderful to see people hungry. My mom always said she likes to see people, likes to feed people who are hungry. Well, I like to preach to people who are hungry. People that they're not interested in the Word of God. People that don't desire the Word of God. You can't stimulate that desire. If you don't desire to eat, if you're sick and you don't want to eat, there's hardly anything that's going to appeal to you. Likewise, when you're sick spiritually and you don't want to eat, I can't stir you up and make you want the Word of God. But if you're healthy spiritually and you've been active spiritually and you've been out there in the world facing all the problems and the troubles that you have to face every day, when you come to the house of God, you're going to be hungry for the Word of God. Your soul is going to be hungry for the Word of God, and you're going to desire the Word of God. And the Bible says here, that this psalmist says, "Oh, I desire the judgments and the statutes and the commandments of God more than I desire fine gold, and more than I desire it sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb." He esteemed the Word of God pretty high, didn't he? He desired the Word of God. Desire. Do you desire to pray? Are there times you desire to pray? And we need to thank God we have the ability to pray. And we ought to desire to pray. You know what I typically want to do? I want to run, try to fix something. I can't fix something. My number one desire shouldn't be for me to go and do something. My number one desire would be for God to go and do something. And so if I believe that and I know that and I realize that and I care, if I care about my brothers and sisters in Christ, I am going to be fervently praying. I'm going to desire to pray because I can't fix those problems. But God can do something that we can't do. So we ought to desire to pray. You ought to desire. I had this thought while we were praying the example prayer. I had the thought, you know, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You remember that? And I thought, there must be at least two or three who are gathered together in his name because Jesus is here. Jesus is here. He promised he'll be in the midst of us when we gather in his name. And it's good to feel him in our midst. I desire, listen, brethren, I like all of you. I love all of you, but I don't want to come to church and Jesus not be here. I desire for everybody to be here. You know that. If you're not here, you know I want you here. But more important than all of us being here is for Jesus to be here. More important than me being here or Brother David or all of us combined, the most important one that we want to be in the house of God, that ought to be a desire. God, fill your house with your Spirit. We need you, Lord. We can't worship you unless you help us. I ought to desire the Lord to be in his house and manifest his presence. What else should you desire? I mentioned it from this Psalm 19, verses 9, 10, and 11. I mentioned us desiring the judgments of God and the statutes of God and the commandments of God. That's something we need to desire. Peter expresses it a little differently and probably is talking about something differently. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter says to desire, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, desire the sincere milk of the Word. And I think probably the milk of the Word's a little different than what David was talking about in Psalm 19, 9, 10, 11. I need to desire the judgments and the statutes and the commandments of God, but I also need to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that I may grow thereby. I want to grow spiritually. I want you to grow. It doesn't matter how much you have grown spiritually. There's a lot more growing you can do spiritually. There are a lot higher grounds than where you are. And if you will desire the sincere milk of the Word, and he says for you to do that. Now, when God commands me to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that teaches me I'm not automatically going to desire the sincere milk of the Word. That means I need to stir up that desire. I think there are things we can do to cause us to desire the Word of God more. Desire, that's a command. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. A lot of other things. Let's go to the New Testament very quickly, if you will. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Here's something Paul desired. We mentioned how David desired to be in the house of the Lord. We mentioned how Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, I want you to notice in Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul talked about something he desired, and it's different than anything else that we've touched on. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Let me ask you this question. Do you know some people you want to be saved tonight? If you don't know anybody that you want to be saved, you don't understand the truth. We ought to desire for God's people to be saved. That was Paul's desire. Paul understood the truth more than anybody here, I think. And he desired, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. There ought to be people on your heart every day that your desire is that they might be saved. Specifically, Paul wanted these people to be saved from ignorance to a knowledge of the truth. Everybody here ought to have people that you love, that you want them to be saved to a knowledge of the truth. And you ought to be able to say from the bottom of your heart, my heart's desire and prayer to God for, and you fill in the blank, is that they might be saved. That was a good desire. The righteous man desires only good. Paul was a righteous man right here, and he just desired that Israel might be saved. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4 very quickly. Paul tells us something else that he desired. How many of you like to get gifts? How many of you like to get gifts? I think most everybody likes to get a gift every now and then. You like to have somebody give you something. It makes you feel loved. It makes you feel appreciated. It doesn't have to be a lot of money. Just desire to be loved. Well, now, the Apostle Paul had some people that sent him money, but it was not the money he desired. I want you to watch the reading very carefully here. Now, he was in want. He was in need. He needed the money, but his desire was for something much greater than the money he got. Philippians chapter 4, listen please to verses 16 and 17. He says, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once, this is the saints at Philippi, they sent once and again unto my necessity. They, at least two times, they sent money, they sent food, they sent something to help him in his necessity. And he says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You see what he's saying? It's not that I wanted your gift. It's not that I wanted your money. It's not that I wanted your food as much as I wanted you to give for that to be fruit that God would bless your life because you're bringing forth fruit that would honor and glorify God. That was a desire he had. He said, I didn't really desire the gift. I desired the fruit in your life. And I'm not asking for anything. I don't need anything. Does everybody understand that? I don't need a thing in this world. My needs are taken care of. Oh, there's a bunch of things I want. I've got little things, trinkets. The devil keeps me chasing little things all the time. But I don't need a thing in the world. But there's some people who need some things right now. Well, I do need some things, but I don't need anything materially. You understand? I need more wisdom. I need more grace. I need all kinds of things. But there are people who need some gifts. There are people who need some love. There are people who need some attention. There are people who need some of your time. There are people who are in great need tonight. And I desire you to help them. That I desire, do you hear what I just said? I desire you to help them. Not so it relieves me of helping them, because I still have that responsibility to help them. But I desire that you help them. And let me say this very quickly. I rejoice with all my heart. I love to see the way this church is functioning to try to help people. I have never been as pleased with a body of people serving the Lord as I am y'all serving the Lord right now. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've seen members and members that have just flocked to help this individual and this individual and this individual and this family. Ladies trying to help the ladies and men trying to help men. I've seen members of the body that are doing everything they can to save somebody. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. Well, God's pleased when you save a soul from death. And my heart's desire is that these people might be saved, and I can do everything I can, but you might reach them when I don't reach them. And that's fruit. That's fruit in your life that God's pleased with that fruit. I'm pleased with the fruit that I see for the most part. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? That's what Paul was talking about here. He said, I didn't just desire a gift. I desired that as you gave me that gift, that's fruit in your life. One final thing in closing, I desire, and I fluctuate on this one. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, the Apostle Paul said, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Now, brethren, when we were praying together tonight, praying the example prayer, I just wanted to go into glory. I was way up here, and I wanted to just take that one little big giant step, but I wanted to go into glory. I had a desire to go and be with Christ. And we were singing earlier, I thought, I just want to go on home. I had a desire to be with Christ. That's far better. Oh, worshiping God here is wonderful. Being in the kingdom of heaven is wonderful. But there's something far better. Now, right now, I don't want to leave. Isn't that amazing that a man can be so fickle that in 1 hour he can go from wanting to depart and be with Christ to right now I want to stay here with you? And that's what Paul said. He said, you know, I desire to depart and be with Christ. That's far better, but it's necessary, it's needful for me to stay here with you. I think until God calls me home, I think you need me and I need you. Does that make sense? We still want to go to be with Jesus. But we also have a desire to stay and help one another. May God help us to have the right kind of desires. And remember this now. The righteous desires only good. So may God help us to get rid of the evil desires. And may God help us to have only good desires every day of our lives is my prayer for Christ's sake.